This is A Wild Conversation.
Hi, my name is Callum Hughes. I'm a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And I'm Ashley Wysick, also a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And today on A Wild Conversation, we're going to be talking about animal communication. Oh, that was a peacock right there.
Yeah, that's my peacock. That's my peacock call.
Does that send across any messages? Do peacocks actually use any like warning systems or whatnot?
Yes. And I've heard it before.
A lot of people wonder why animals make alarm calls, because the downside of it is that a predator can basically locate you really easily. Yeah.
Quite a few predators, though, really rely on ambushing. Like there are actually quite a few predators who don't like it if you can see them when they're hunting you, right? Like for example, tigers. They're complete ambush predators. So if you make like Hannah, she loves to ambush people at the zoo, like just along her fence line. But if you turn around and you make eye contact with her, you ruin her game.
Oh.
She'll literally be like, "Oh. Well, I'm not chasing you because you see me coming. It ruins all the fun." And yeah, it happens in nature too. I can't remember if we've talked about this before, but there was a place where they have tigers in the wild near them. I can't remember which place it is, but they are having problems with tigers mauling people in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways they actually managed to solve the problem was they actually just implemented hats with big eyes in the back of their heads. Literally so that when you're bent down in the field, you're still looking behind you. And the amount of maulings that happen in these fields went way down because the tiger's like, "Oh, you can see me. I don't like that."
Huh. Yeah, that's really cool. Taking advantage of that nature to give up if you've been spotted, and taking that into action.
Yeah, and it's not just alarm calls for communicating.
Oh, right? Definitely not.
Yeah,
a lot of it's big. In animals, a lot of animals use body language to send their messages. Even we do. Most of our conversation is body language or tone.
Yeah. Or facial expressions.
Definitely facial expressions.
Our eyebrows are very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think we've mentioned it before with dogs. One of the reasons that things that separates dogs from wolves is they're able to move their eyebrows. The puppy dog's eyes exist, and that's thanks to the eyebrows, that increased muscles on their face.
My dog takes full advantage of that. Cutest thing on the face of the planet, and you can fight me if you don't agree.
I'm not fighting you. I've met Bear. He's very cute.
He's very sweet.
But it's pretty cool because that's a feature just meant for communicating with us. It's not meant for communicating with other dogs. It's meant for us, which is very interesting. I mean, communication between different species. Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's this really cool interaction on the Great Barrier Reef between two unrelated species of fish.
Okay.
All right. So I want you to imagine a scenario, a human scenario, right?
Okay.
Imagine you are sat and down in a busy like city center or something.
Okay.
You're holding a coupon, let's say for a Dairy Queen, buy one, get one free, okay, right? And you're like, "This is all right, but I was kind of hoping I could have a meal with this and I want to save a bit of money." And then for no reason whatsoever, someone, maybe you've seen them a few times, comes up to you and starts shaking their head from side to side, but not like a slow shake, like really quick, really erratic movements.
Okay.
Everyone else is going, "What the heck is this guy doing?" But not you. No, you know exactly what this person is trying to a message across to you. So you walk side by side together and you go to the McDonald's, which he has a coupon for, buy one, get one free. You split the money 50-50, you get your meal, then you go to the Dairy Queen, you get the buy one, get one free, split it 50-50, and you both eat your meals, maybe on separate tables. You're not friends, you're not enemies. You're just two people trying to save money whilst eating a meal.
Interesting, interesting.
And this has happened on the Great Barrier Reef with grouper, a type of grouper, and moray eels.
Oh.
So the grouper goes up to a cave where there's a moray eel and starts shaking its head from side to side in this erratic motion. And the eel understands that this grouper is basically saying, "Let's go hunting together." And they go side by side to another bit of reef where the eel goes into the reef because it's able to weave between the gaps. And the grouper positions itself above the reef. Any fish that tries to escape the moray eel shooting out of the reef might get snatched up by the grouper, and any fish that see the grouper above and hesitate just for a few moments makes it easier for the eel to catch them.
Interesting.
Yeah. They both really cool. save energy from the meal, but what's really cool is that it's initiated through a message. Let's go hunting.
Yeah, no, that's really cool.
Right?
Yeah. The animal kingdom is so complicated. It's amazing. I love it.
There's a really cool YouTube video. I totally recommend it because you wouldn't, you'd probably, I don't blame anyone for not believing me describing the scenario because it sounds so unrealistic, but.
Look it up. It's real. I guarantee you.
Exactly. You think of any other cool forms of communication that you've witnessed at the zoo, for example?
Okay, and it's I haven't actually like witnessed it or anything, but one of the things I find very interesting is that is giraffes. When they communicate, they actually do verbalize, they vocalize, but apparently it is so like it's a, what is it called, like infrasonic or something, or like it's so deep we can't actually hear it, which I think is amazing. So sometimes you'll see the giraffes, they like put their heads up and they open their mouths and it looks like they're really just like bleh. But they are actually communicating with each other. We literally just can't hear it, you know, which also makes me think, you know, there's probably tons of different means of communication that we don't even realize are animals communicating, you know?
Absolutely. Like ultraviolet light. Yeah. That was talked about. Well, yeah.
And apparently there used to be a conservation center here, like over in the Langley area, like years and years and years ago. And they had giraffes. And we found out through just like communicating with them and kind of talking about our different giraffes, that our giraffes and their giraffes were actually making these like faces and what looked like vocalizations at the same time. So they're actually communicating over a really long distance, potentially, which is really cool.
That is really cool.
Isn't that awesome?
It's like text messages, but
hey, how's the weather out in Langley? Pretty crappy out here.
Oh man.
Right?
I know, I know lions do that too, right? They have a pretty low frequency, and elephants as well.
But you can still hear it.
You can still hear it?
With the lions, at least. Oh. Well, I don't know. When Boomer calls, you can hear it from across the zoo, and it's pretty amazing. Actually, one of the weird ones that people don't realize, ostriches make a very similar sound to lions.
Really?
Did you, have you not heard it here?
I haven't.
Reggie makes a sound. It sounds very similar to Boomer, but it's, I don't know, it's like Boomer's more like a oof, and then he's more like a ooh. Like it sounds like almost like a baby version of Boomer. Yeah, one time I went up to the front booth and I was chatting with some of the girls, and they're really close to the ostriches, and he started going off and they're like, oh, it's so cool that we get to listen to Boomer from here. And I was like, no, that's actually the bird outside. They're like, what? I was like, no, that's Reggie. Look. And I opened the door and we all leaned out and his throat is all like puffed up and he's just going, hoo, hoo, hoo. And they were like, okay, that's not an image I needed. But they had thought that whole summer that they'd been listening to Boomer.
Yeah.
So funny.
No, you've been listening to an ostrich.
It's been an ostrich this whole time. They're hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
Right?
I know a species that's studied very heavily is meerkats on social interactions.
Okay, yeah.
But also mongooses. By the way, if you're looking for a TV show that is full of drama, illustrious affairs, encroaching armies.
I know exactly what you're talking. Meerkat Manor?
Meerkat Manor. Not Game of Thrones.
Meerkat Manor. I have seen that. I also condone this. Me and my mom used to watch it.
Oh,
it was fantastic.
It's like Game of Thrones meets Animal Planet.
Every documentary series should be like that. It was so fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. There's another species of mongoose called the banded mongoose, right?
Okay.
And they go around in little troops. And what they found is that they make these quick vocalizations. And it's like a two-parter. The first part gives the identity of the individual.
Okay.
And the second part, the action or the activity that they're doing. And that might not sound like much, but now when I watch banded meerkats, I only think of them like us at the zoo carrying radios and being like, this is Callum, I'm foraging. This is Ashley, I'm also foraging. You know, is there a predator nearby? There's no predator nearby. You know, like, but
this is Ashley, she's, I'm poop scooping.
Copy that, Ashley. This is Callum. I'm also poop scooping. That's 90% of our job.
Honestly.
But that's communication, and they actually give their name and what they're doing, which is kind of cool.
No, that's really cool. It's an interesting thing of animals is having, like, identifying names among each other.
Yeah.
Right?
That's too.
That's super weird.
One really cool example of communication, too, that's between human beings and a wild species of animal. Right? Get this. Have you ever heard of the honey guide?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you continue, though.
So it's, I mean, it should, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much in the bird's name. It guides people to honey. What's really cool is that in certain places, hunter-gatherers will basically call in the bird with these whistles or clicks, and the bird will actually show up to where they are.
Oh, that's really cool.
And then the bird will lead them to honey. And they basically find the hive where the bees are located, and the hunter-gatherers will climb up the tree with some smoke out the bees, and collect some of the honey. What they found in studies is they actually sometimes get as much as 500% more honey using a honey guide than without.
Oh,
because they not only lead them to beehives, sometimes they lead them to the better beehives.
Oh, there you go.
Or more beehives.
I know some secrets there, man. Let me show you something down this way.
Yeah. You know, there's savanna savvy, right?
Yeah,
that's what I call it. Not street smart, savanna savvy.
Savanna savvy. I like that.
And it depends on where you're talking about. In some places, the hunter-gatherers leave some for the bird. In other places, they don't leave anything for the bird. And that might sound harsh, but they will tell you, like, a hungry bird will help us tomorrow. Whereas if we feed him, tomorrow he's not going to do anything. And when we're talking about 15% of your calorie intake, that can be a serious thing. Mm-hmm. But in certain regions, you have to leave some honey. There's, like, folk tales that if you don't leave an offering for these birds, the next time they guide you, they'll guide you to a tree with a leopard in it. And you'll be halfway up the tree with a smoking branch in your mouth. And there's a really, really angry leopard.
This is what you get, man.
Exactly.
Cheat me out. My gift.
So they say, always, you know, always pay the piper.
Okay.
Always pay the honey guide.
Always pay the honey guide.
Always do that.
Or you will regret it.
So, and that is a wild animal communicating with people. And we don't know how long this relationship has existed. Some people have said that honey guides help honey badgers. However, this is still not proven yet. They've tried playing bird calls and honey badgers don't react to it. So they don't know if that's true or not, or the honey guide just takes advantage of the honey badger being there.
Currently just a wives' tale right now.
Right now, until proven.
Until proven.
But with people, it's definitely proven.
That's really
cool.
It's
been studied. So that's interesting, right?
No, that's super interesting. I love that.
And another example of two completely unrelated species being able to communicate with each other.
Yeah. It actually happens quite often.
Yeah.
More often than we think. It's not just cats and dogs that communicate with us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they have specific noises, too. You know, when a cat greets you, it makes that noise, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's actually really interesting, too, because here at the zoo, all of our animals, you know, they react to us. They don't necessarily communicate with us, but our animals have, I don't know if you've noticed, but certain animals will only react to certain vehicles at the zoo.
Yes.
Like, they can actually tell. They're like, oh, that's the carnivore Kubota, that's mine, or like your animals. I've been up in that area in the hoofstock region when you start like trucking down the road down there, and I've watched all the sika deer stand up like, oh
yeah,
oh, it's the food guy, we like him. You know, it's interesting, you know, they're very spatially aware.
Definitely.
Also they 100% have way better like internal clocks than we do. My donkey Bob, he will let me know if I'm 5 minutes late. I'll literally be like coming down the road and I can hear him screaming to me. He's like, come on, lady, pick it up.
It's pretty awesome, too, because like animals don't even just communicate by body language or hearing. Mm-hmm. It's also smell. Like when an animal marks its territory, it's leaving a message.
Yeah.
It's like text messaging, you know, like this is who came by. And apparently some big cats can actually tell the health of the individual who left it there. So
interesting.
Like, which is really important for lions when it comes to judging whether or not you should try and take over that pride.
Yeah. Definitely. Which actually reminds me, just a warning, be careful around Boomer. He will mark you if you get too close to his fence. He will. If you see him turn around and he lifts his tail, you got to get out of there because he is not afraid to pee on you.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be an insult to any other lions that you might come across. Not only are you a package of food, you're basically a wrapped up insult right there.
Wrapped up
insult. This land is mine. Well, awesome. It's been great. If anyone has any questions regarding animal communication or other examples that they'd like to bring up, please don't hesitate to contact us at podcast@gvzoo.com. I'm Callum Hughes.
I'm Ashley Wysick.
And this has been A Wild Conversation.